This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and
20, 2015. It's really good to have each of you here. I enjoy talking about this topic. It's so easy to prepare because I'm just love children, and I know Jesus does too. So let's just dive right in, make good use of our time together. I have a lot to share. Some of these things might be, oh yeah, it's kind of common knowledge. But boy, if you're like me, I just need to be reminded of some of this truth of how to effectively reach children. Because we don't have time to waste, right? These children, us reaching them might be the last opportunity after we have our encounters with them. That might be the last opportunity they really have to hear about Jesus. It's a golden opportunity. And we don't want to just take it lightly. And I appreciate you coming to want to learn and to grow together of what it means to work with children. I love going to these workshops. I've learned so much. But isn't it kind of funny when you go to a workshop and you read the description, you go, yeah, that's where I want to go to. And you go there and the guy talks about everything else but the paragraph, you know. It's like, what's what I want to, right at the beginning, look at the paragraph of our focus of our time together. And focus on that as the purpose of gathering, learning ways to more effectively touch the hearts of children. We'll look at ways to not be naive in relating to children who have faced hard things in life, and look at healthy protocols. That is our purpose of gathering together. We'll spend most of our time in just knowing how to relate and reach their hearts, and then at the end we'll talk about some of those healthy protocols as well. So if you have your handouts, you can follow along or you can look up here. It's almost identical. Maybe there's just a few differences, but it's almost identical. Whatever works better for you in writing notes and so on. But what's the point anyway? Why go through all this work? I mean, why are you involved with children? Some people are involved with children because they'd rather act like a child. They don't want to grow up. I'm assuming none of you are that way, but sometimes it's kind of fun just to act like a child, right? Excuse? But no, it's because it's important to Jesus. Bottom line, that's why I care about children, because when he lived on this earth, there was no question at all that he cared about children. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and come unto, don't turn away the children. Let the children come unto me, these verses talk about. And Matthew 18 says, we won't look at the verses, but it says, you know, it is not my will that one of these little ones should perish. It is Jesus' deepest heart's longing that not one child is missed, that every child that we have the privilege of knowing and meeting and relating to finds Jesus. And I reach children out of my love for Jesus, not just because I love children, because I love Jesus. I love what he cares about. We were just in El Salvador last 2 months for a short sabbatical, and one of the ladies was trying to thank us through an interpreter for us being there. And you know one thing she said? She said, thank you for loving my children. She's a single mother, two children from two different men, but now she's a member of the church, wants to follow the Lord. She said, thank you for loving my children. How do you love Jesus? You love him by loving his children. Out of my love for the Lord, I want to give my life to the people that he cares about. There's one lady that found the Lord, and she loved the Lord, but all she could speak is Spanish. She just could barely get any English words out. But she loved the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord so badly. She wanted to help children and reach children. She wanted to do something for God. So she goes to her pastor and says, please give me a job. I want to reach children. I want to do something for God because he did so much for me. And so the pastor said, I'm not sure what you can do because you can't talk. What can you do? Can't teach Sunday school? Can't. Oh, I know what you could do. You could ride the school bus when we go pick up children for Sunday school. You could ride on the bus and kind of be a mom, a bus mom, and ride along with the girls and boys that come to Sunday school. That would be a perfect job. So she did, and she loved her job. She would pick these children up on her lap, and she memorized these English words. I love you, and Jesus loves you too. I love you. And Jesus loves you too. All she knew, but that's all she said, and that's all she needed to say. The kids loved her, riding the bus. And she noticed one boy in the back of the bus, always sitting by himself, just a little skinny little guy, 5-year-old maybe, 6-year-old. And he had no friends, nobody else around him. And she felt really bad for this little boy. He wasn't acting up. He didn't need a spanking, but just felt bad for him. Goes over to him and tries to get him to sit on her lap. And first, I'm not sitting on your lap. Looks the other way. But the next day, she asks again, you want to come? And the boy hesitantly comes and sits on her lap, but doesn't say a word, just sits there. And as soon as the bus got to church, the boy ran off into church, came back out, and then he spotted that lady and jumped on her lap. And every day, every Sunday, going to church, coming home, always found the lady and jumped up on her lap. And every day the lady says, I love you. And Jesus loves you too. I love you. And Jesus loves you too. And the boy would run off, never say a word, until one Sunday the boy turned around when she said that and said, I love you too, and hugged her really tight and ran off. But as the lady was looking through the newspaper on Monday morning, she saw a story in there that caught her eye about a little boy. And she read the story about a little boy that was found Sunday night underneath one of those fire escape ladders in the apartment building in a trash can, beat up and bruised, bloodied and dead, beaten to death, wrapped up in a trash bag. And it was in the same neighborhood as where they'd pick up these children for Sunday school. And she looked into it a little further, and she found out it was the same boy that she had held Sunday mornings. He went to a tragic death, but not before she touched his heart. I love you, and Jesus loves you too. Really, reaching children is just about, let's not make it too complicated, okay? It's about Jesus loves you, and I love you too, no matter what. And she did it because, not so she would feel really important, not so she feel really great about herself, but she did it because she loved Jesus, because of all Jesus had done for her. That's pure love. Jesus sees inside. He sees the hurting hearts. He sees the hearts that have been abused and mistreated, and he longs for us to hug them and to pass on that good news to them. And what a golden opportunity. 79% of those who choose to follow Christ, they do so before they turn 21. After 21, only 29% choose to follow Christ. No, 21%. What a golden opportunity while they're still young. The terrorists, the communists, they know all this. They know all this. They always are reaching the children and trying to catch them when they're young, when they're impressionable. It's just way easier to reach a boy than to fix a man. And they know this. They know they're open and vulnerable. And they're also open to the gospel. I know children that come to camp, 6, 7, 8 years old, is a whole different ballgame than 15. 15, they're too scared to go on the zip line. They're too scared to open up. They're too scared to talk often. But at 8, 9, 10, they're much, much more open. It's a golden opportunity while they're still young. Well, I promised I'd tell you this story. I was going to skip it for time, but this story about this boy who's young, but he was big, and he was about just as wide as he was tall. His name was Josh. And if you go to Shady Maple on April 7th, you'll hear his testimony firsthand. But I'll tell you just a little snippet. Josh Troopy came to camp, and he was about as wide as he was tall. And he didn't trust anybody, and he was scared to death, and he had been through some really tough things in his life. And he got up on the stump to do the trust fall, where you stand up and you go like this and then you fall back and they catch you. And he stood there and he was scared. He didn't want to fall. And he sat there and sat there. And the counselor wisely said, we have all day, Troopy. Just take your time. He said, I really want to trust you. I really want to trust you, but I don't know how and I'm too scared. And he stood there and he started crying. But he said, it's okay. We're going to stay right here. We'll catch you when you fall. You just take your time. 45 minutes he stood on that stump until he finally fell. And everybody caught him and hugged him. And he finally found somebody he could trust that would catch him when he fell for the first time. And if Troopy was here today, he would say, that moment was the moment that changed my life forever. Now he's a member of the church. He's in charge of the youth group in the church, a Mennonite church here in the county. And he's going to share his testimony in a couple weeks because somebody took the time to say, yeah, we're trustworthy. We're here for you. In this teachable moment, maybe later Troopy would have got so tough and tight and resistant to the gospel, but he was teachable. He was open. Now, this is a really tricky one because if you'd asked me why I'm still at Camp Andrews after 22 years, I'd say it's because it's fulfilling. There's just nothing more fulfilling in the whole wide world than reaching children and reaching young people for Christ. It's just nothing even comes close, okay? And that's true, but it's a tricky thing because if you're in ministry because it does you some good, you're going to have trouble. You're just going to have trouble. If that's your reason for being in ministry, it's going to be a mess. Because then it's going to be about you instead of them. Oh, you're going to say it's for them, but it's really about you. And how can I tell if it's about me? How about when they criticize me or make fun of me? Or my ego gets stepped on? Or my rights or my control? Do I easily get angry when they don't do what I ask them to do and want them to do? Jesus says, you find your life by losing it. It's not about you. If there's nothing else you remember this afternoon, if you just would understand, and if I would just understand that it's only as I daily consecrate my life, my ego, what I get out of it, what's in it for me, my reputation, if I would just consecrate that each day, deny myself, take up my cross, and pour my life into these precious young people with utter abandonment, how much better ministry would be if I would just be all about them and not about me. They say the best soldier is a soldier that sees himself as already dead. Think about that. Do you see yourself as a soldier that's already dead so you've got nothing to lose? Then you go all out, right? Now, I'm not advocating war by any stretch. But Christ is calling us to see ourselves as already dead and pour your hearts into them. It's not about you. We find our life by losing it. So how do we effectively reach? What are some things? First of all, do we really understand it takes the Holy Spirit? I mean, you might have some great methods and great ideas, but before we go over those ideas, do we really understand that it's the Holy Spirit? If he doesn't show up, you're just running a daycare center. And let's just be really clear about that. Because if I would ask you, you'd all agree with me really quickly. But do you really, really get it that unless the children, and I said this just in the last session, unless the children really meet Jesus and the Holy Spirit touches their hearts, they might be prettier, they might be nicer, they might brush their teeth more often, but really, who cares? Unless Jesus has touched their heart. It's not me changing them. And I know you know that, but do you really, really believe that? It's not you changing them. It's not me changing them. It's the Holy Spirit that changes them. And incidentally, it's the only, your only hope of changing too. It's not trying harder or being better. It's the Holy Spirit taking total control. I can't love them. I shake my head sometimes and says, I just don't have what it takes. And God says, good. I'm glad you finally admitted it. I was waiting for that. Good. You finally admitted you don't have what it takes. I was waiting for you to finally admit that. Now I can take over. Good. Do you have what it takes? I don't have what it takes. Does prayer matter? Oh, yeah, prayer matters. Prayer changes things, right? I even have it on my desk. Prayer changes things. So one church is praying that this bar in town would burn down. So they had this all-night prayer meeting that this bar would burn down. And right in the middle of the night, a lightning storm came up. The lightning struck the bar, and it burned to the ground. Powerful. So the owner of the bar sued the church for praying that his bar would burn down. He sued the church and held them liable for his barbering down. So the judge brought them all into court to try to mediate this all out. So the church says, no, we didn't do it. We were in the church minding our own business. We didn't burn it down. And the bartender said, no, you did. You prayed and you are responsible. And the judge said, okay, I got it figured out. We have an interesting case here. We have a bartender that believes in prayer, but the church doesn't. Oh, yeah, prayer really changes things. Prayers, but you only believe what you believe if you have actions to back it up. Let's just be honest. If you say it's important and you don't do it, is it? Really? How much time do you spend in preparation for children's ministry and how much time you spend in prayer? Do you really understand that if God doesn't show up, your 10 days of preparation are worthless if he doesn't show up with his spirit? Do I really, really understand that? Is preparation important? Of course it's important. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be prepared. But we have to understand it's got to be the Holy Spirit and his work in people's lives. And it only happens when we get on our knees and say, God, it's not about us. It's about you. And then as we pour our lives into them and win their hearts, we need to be personal, show genuine interest. They can tell a phony a mile away. If you're not genuine, stay home. Sorry. It's not worth it. Don't lead the kids along. If you don't care about them, stay home. Get on your knees until you do care. They can tell a phony a mile away. How do you really feel about them? I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. They can tell what you really, really, really feel about them. And sometimes they can tell better than you can tell yourself. They can see right through us. And let's just be honest. If you're having a hard time, get on your knees and say, God, give me a heart transplant. Own how you really feel about them. Learn to remember their names. Just a simple trick, but they love when you know their names and be able to identify. You're showing you care. There's no word in the English language they'd rather hear than their own name. Not even I love you. They want to know that you, that communicates value and respect. Then how you value and respect yourself. We just talked about this a little bit early. I love these three phrases. Nothing to lose. You know you're called and you got nothing to lose. You pour your heart into children's ministry with utter abandonment. Just like the soldier sees himself as already dead. You got nothing to lose because you're already dead. You're already committed. You're already all in. Nothing to lose. Nothing to prove. It's not about you having this tremendous ministry or lots of children coming. Your identity is secure. You know who you are in Christ. You know you're saved, forgiven. You don't take things personally when they look at you weird or say, ooh, that's a funny dress. That color looks terrible on you. Children say things that they really think, right? You know that. Do you take that personal? Well, if I take it personal, it's just all about me. I'm all worried about what. And you go, oh, you don't like the color? I don't really like it either, but, you know, I got to wear it out somehow. Whatever. You know, nothing to prove, nothing to hide. You got nothing to lose. Nothing to hide. Not hanging your head, not speaking, well, I guess I'm here because I, good. Mennonites take care of children, I guess. So I guess I should just be here and, but I don't really know what I'm doing, and I don't know what's really going on. And so I just will just be here. And people come to Camp Andrews, and they got lots to hide. They're crawled up in their little shell, and they're trying to hide and protect. Scared to death. I need some time on my knees when I get to feeling that way. Transparency. If I got sin in my heart, maybe I'm the only one that knows, but I got sin in my heart, stay on your knees until you get it right. Don't hurt a child by coming with an untransparent heart. Get myself, first of all, nothing to lose, nothing to prove, nothing to hide, nothing to lose. I know I'm called to this ministry. I'm like a turtle on a, how many turtles on a fence post? You know, I love that analogy. How many, Summer, are you a turtle on a fence post? Yes, you are. Kelly, are you a turtle on a fence post? Clayton, you're a turtle on a fence post, right? Yes. If you're a turtle on a fence post, how did you get there? The turtle jumped? I don't think so. How do you think you got there? Someone put you there! If you're in children's ministry, do you know someone put you there? Or did you climb yourself up? No, I'm a turtle on a fence post. I've been called. God lays this burden on my heart. God put me here. So some, are you a turtle on a fence post? Yeah, I thought so. And I know Kelly is. Yes, you're called by God, and don't forget it. It's not about me because I've been called. This, I'm doing it for the love of Jesus, not even for the love of children, primarily for the love of Jesus. Nothing to lose, nothing to prove, nothing to hide. So quit hiding and pour your heart into the children. It's not about protecting your persona, trying to look like a perfect Mennonite or a perfect Christian. Just pour your heart into them. Be real. And then about respecting them. They can see what's in our heart. We just talked about that a minute ago. Eye contact is huge. And I love this. When you got 5 or 6 year old children, get down on your knees. Oh, there's nothing better than crouching down and talking to the children on their level. That's huge. You go to a church somewhere and you see little cute children coming around. And if you look like, oh, what's your name? You have a puppy at home? You have a cat? And you're like, yeah. But you watch it. Just try it sometime in church Sunday morning. Crouch down on your knees and talk to the children. Whoosh, you'll have 10 in a minute. I'm serious. You will. It's so simple. But just get on their level. What are you saying? I'm not just a big, scary guy. I'm on your level. I want to connect. Eye contact is so crucial. They can see your eyes. Never demean or embarrass. I don't care how bad they act. Never, ever, ever embarrass them. They'll never forget that, and they may never see you again. Never embarrass. Always respectful. Always with honor. Getting on their level and build ownership. As you respect them, you say, so we have this group activity, and as much as possible, let them decide things. Now, you're in charge. But let them build ownership. So what should we do? We got 10 minutes. We could either do this, this, or this. How many want to do this? How many want to do this? So you're giving them choices and ownership. You're respecting them. You're not just a smart Mennonite that knows all the answers and knows what's best for them all the time. Sorry for being blunt, but might as well talk about it, right? No. You want to know where they're at. Give them ownership. No, you don't just cross your arms and say, so what do you want to do tonight? I don't have any idea what we're doing tonight. No, of course not. But building ownership and including them in those decisions and as much as possible. And then when it comes to discipline, John, how much more time do I have? Okay. And that's 20 of? Good. Thank you. Sometimes it's just nice to know whether I should step on the pedal or step on the brake, you know, so that's good. Clear expectations. Avoid confusion. Assume and surprise not. I know maybe you're a little different than me, but I don't like surprises. I don't like when someone says one thing and then changes their mind and surprises me. Neither do children. So when you want to make something clear, whether it's behavior or expectations, be clear. No confusion. Assume and surprise not. So helpful. Very clear. This is what we're expected. Stick to it. If you're not going to back it up, don't say it in the first place. It's just what we expect. Do the do's and don't do the don'ts. Do you focus on the do's or do you focus on the don'ts? Of course, you have to have don'ts, but focus on the do's. You spend your time doing the do's, you're not going to have time to do the don'ts, right? Focus on the do's. Behavior and character affirmed is repeated. We have a group at Camp Andrews that has gotcha pens. And they're brown, ugly-looking pens, but they're so effective. And they just say, gotcha on them. That's all it is, one of those old-fashioned pins. And so when they get caught doing something good or kind or helpful or obedient or whatever, you give them a gotcha pen. Any staff person can give them one. And they stick them on their shirt, and they get to wear them the whole day. So, hey, I got 10 pens today. That's pretty cool. Gotcha. Gotcha. Doing something. How many times do you say gotcha do something bad? How many times do you say, gotcha, doing something good? What's the ratio? Do they just hear gotcha doing something bad? It gets pretty depressing to hear that all day or all night. Gotcha doing good too. Another thing about clear expectations and doing the do's and not the don'ts, we have a swimming pool there at camp. So this is just a good example where we get together. First day, okay, we're going swimming today, and everybody ready to jump in? This is, now, I'm sure all of you just can't wait to get in there and have a fun time. So we want to have a great fun time, and yeah, we don't want anybody to get hurt, and we want everybody to be safe. So fun time and safe time. Does everybody sound good? Yeah, fun and safe. So how many of you can think of something that would help us in our pool time to be fun and safe? And so someone says, I think we shouldn't throw balls at each other in the basketballs at each other. Yeah, that's a good one. No throwing balls. How about somebody else? I don't think we should push people in the pool. Yeah, good idea. Don't push people in. Good thinking. What else? This is exactly how I do the pool times, what I'm trying to get at. What else? What do you think would be a great time, a way to have a fun time and a safe time? How about making sure they can swim in the deep end before they swim in the deep end? Yeah. So we got to pass a test. So this is what the test is. I explain that. Go through the rules. Most times they get every single one. Every single one I was going to say. Except maybe one or two they forget, like glass bottles or something like that. Pool time? Why would you want to break your own rules? Right? Pool time goes a lot better. A lot better. Giving ownership that they're part of the decision making as much as possible. Consistent, to be in tune, to hear their hearts. So many times it's so easy to just not be in tune. You just see the behavior, right? You just see the nasty attitude. You just see the anger and the stomping foot, and we're not doing that. This one boy at camp was like that. He was just a terror. He just wouldn't do anything you tell him to do. And so sometimes it works just to pull the boy aside out of the group and go one-on-one with him. So this boy did. And for some reason, the staff person had this idea, I want to hear a little bit about what your family's like back in the city. And could you tell me a little bit about your family? Or better yet, could you just draw a picture? Draw a picture of your family, of your different people in your family. I'd just love to hear a little bit more about your family. I thought we were here talking about breaking the rules of the pool. No, we're talking about your family now. So can you tell me a little about your family? All right, whatever you say. So he was preoccupied. And he was pretty proud that someone would actually care about knowing about his family. Felt kind of good inside. And started drawing pictures. And said, okay, I'm done. Showed the picture to the staff person. And then the staff person looked at it and go, so who are the people? Well, that's my mom. That's my brother. That's my sister. My other brother, sister. That's all of us. And the staff person said, but there's a garbage can down the corner of the paper. What's that? That's where my dad is. Because he belongs in there. Because he left my mom when we needed a dad. He left my mom. He belongs in the garbage can. I hope he stays there. And I hope he rots. I hope he dies there. Did you just learn something new? What would you do if you just heard that? Does that mean he can do whatever he wants and disobey and do anything? Of course not. But now you started to get in tune with his heart. Now you took the time to hear his heart. Now he just shared with you a pretty vulnerable something about his heart, right? Pretty vulnerable. It's like you're carrying this delicate, precious vase. Careful. Careful. But care. Be in tune and hear their heart. You're not excusing their behavior. It's not about that. It's that you're taking the time, maybe for the first time for that child, to really care about their hearts and hear their hearts. Ask questions. Maybe you don't know the whole picture. I remember disciplining my son sometimes before I knew the whole picture. One of the most tragic things in my parenting. I just took rash judgments before I knew the whole picture. Spanked the wrong boy. I mean, you got to stop and ask questions. It's not about you having this quiet, beautiful, organized, the way you like it kind of a ministry. It's about them, right? And what's best for them. And sometimes asking questions takes a lot longer than just sit in a corner for 2 minutes, which is not a bad idea sometimes, sit in the corner. But ask questions. Affirm that they are not bad, but the choice they made was bad. There's a big difference. They're not bad people. They're sinners that don't have a Savior, and they made bad choices. And there's a really big difference. They've heard plenty of times that they're bad. Consistent discipline. Oh, there's just nothing like consistency. Not only being in tune, but being humble in your consistent discipline. Be humble about it. You don't know everything. It's not about gaining control and keeping. Yeah, you need to have order, but it's not about making things so they're comfortable for you. It's about them, hurting with them. You know, so that boy talked about his dad being in the garbage can. So I don't know what the staff person did next, but did the staff person hurt with the boy? So what did that feel like? Can you tell me more about that? How old were you when he left? Asking, not demanding, but asking, would you like to tell me more about that? How was that? Hurting with them. Not just to write an article, but because you really want to know and you really want to care. Be flexible with your schedule. I love tight schedules. Boom, 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 get it done. Boom, 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 get them fed. I love tight schedules. But sometimes, doesn't have to disrupt the whole group, but am I willing to be flexible and spend extra time with somebody to get out of my comfort zone? Consistent discipline is not only being in tune and being humble, but it's being creative. There's more than one way to discipline. And we'll talk about at the end about improper discipline, according to the state and so on. But arranged consequences that relate to the offense. So they're throwing food. Well, guess what? They don't have a chance to throw food because they're not going to eat next meal. That's what we do at camp. So something directly related to the, so they cause a fit and cause a fight at the pool. Guess what? The pool is only half as long the next day. Directly related to the offense. Directly related to what they have been doing. Not as a punishment to pay for what they did, but directly related, taking away privileges because of their offense. But use the teachable moments, doing one-on-one. A lot of the camps that come, Camp Andrews, are starting to have extra staff for one-on-one times where they can, when a child, like the one I told you about with the story about the family, they could spend one-on-one time. They didn't have to be hurrying around, but there was extra people. They're called floaters. Great idea. Being creative so you have that one-on-one time. Oh, I got to back up. I missed a story. Hurting with them? Where was that? Back here. Yeah, hurting with them. So one time, these boys were really acting up. They were throwing fans, I mean real fans, you know, at each other in the cabin. That was pretty bad. So it needed a capital consequence, right? So we got together and we decided there's a big stone pile down at the bottom of the hill, and it's about an 80-foot rise, which is a pretty steep hill rise up to the top of the hill. Now, we didn't need the stones up there, but all of a sudden we did. And we had a nice tractor, but all of a sudden it ran out of fuel, right? So we got the idea to get a couple wheelbarrows and shovels, and after dark, this cabin would move this pile of stones from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. So they went down there, and there was big guys. I mean, they were 14, 15-year-olds. I ain't moving any stones. We ain't shoveling any stones. So what do you do? Oh, yes, you are. Get their whip out. No, so what the counselors did? I can't believe they thought this quick, but he said, okay, you don't have to move any stones. All you have to do is shovel this wheelbarrow full, and we'll push it up the hill. But you can't go anywhere else. You have to stay with us. Okay. Are you serious? This is cool. I can't watch. Watch this. The counselors are going to be working hard. Wow. Counselors, yeah, that's good. So they did. So they shoveled the stones, and the counselors started pushing it up the hill. And it's a steep hill. And it was getting hot. I mean, you can imagine pushing it all the way up the hill. Finally, they got their bandanas out and wrapped it around their forehead because the sweat was coming down into their eyes. I mean, these counselors were working like dogs. I mean, they were just working. These campers started quit making fun of the counselors after a while. And after a while, they started even starting feeling bad. And they said, counselors, man, can we help push the wheelbarrow up the hill? And the counselor said, no, it's okay. It's okay. We got it. And we should even help push it. Let's take turns. The counselor says, no, it's okay. You said you didn't want to push it. It's okay. Just as long as we stay together as a cabin, it's okay. We'll push it up the hill. You just fill the wheelbarrow with stones and we'll push it. And the campers were on and on. It was going, man, we feel terrible. We got to help you somehow. Can we help you get it up the hill somehow? And we got to take a turn. And I don't think there's any tears, but they were starting to get desperate. They were just feeling so terrible. We're the ones that messed up. I mean, we really messed up in the cabin, didn't we, guys? Yeah, we really messed up in the cabin. There is no way we should be doing things like that. And we really got out of control, and we let our anger get way out of hand. And man, we're really sorry, counselors. We're really sorry. Man, we really feel bad. Up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill. Finally, they were done. They went back to the cabin, and it got really quiet. These guys were sitting there. They didn't know what to think. They never saw anything like this before. And then one of the counselors says, you know what? I don't know who said it, but somebody said, you know what? That's kind of like what Jesus did for us, isn't it? We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve his help. We didn't deserve his forgiveness. But he pushed our load of stones up the hill for us. And he died for us, didn't he? And we feel bad that he had to die for us. But he did, just because he loved us. And that's why the other counselor and I pushed the stones up the hill, because we really love you guys. It's not about spanking you or making you pay for it. We want to know how much Jesus loves you and cares about you and wants to free you from the sin that you're under. Think those guys were listening? You bet you believe it, they were listening. The counselors were willing. It wasn't about them. They had nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide. They were there for the boys, and whatever it took, they could push stones all night if that's what it took. Do I really see ministry that way? It's not about me after all. It's about them seeing Jesus in me, touching their hearts, being humble enough to hurt with them and to go through that stuff with them. It was about not only being in tune and being humble, being creative. We looked at all these things, but it's also about being consistent. So frustrating when we're not consistent and we don't spend that time backing up what we say. If you don't really believe it, don't say it. Being consistent. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Choose your battles wisely. Don't draw the line if you're not going to back it up. It's way better not to draw the line. But when you draw the line, it's got to mean what you say and say what you mean. Think it through before it happens. So we looked at what the point is anyway, how to more effectively reach them. Now let's look briefly at potential liabilities. We're not going to go into a lot of detail about this. But be wise. In Pennsylvania here, they just passed this big new law that everyone that works with children needs to have background checks and to be, you know, go through a whole different. If you don't know about that and you're in Pennsylvania, you need to know about that because we need to be above the law. So if you don't know about that, you can ask me afterwards. You probably already know. But we need to be above the law, above reproach when it comes to ministry and about being wise but not scared. Some ministries are so scared to death. By the way, my email is on the bottom of your handout. If you'd like our identity forms, basically parents literally sign off that release you from liability and lawsuits. Now, of course, you still need to be smart, but it's a protocol that we just go through it. Kid wants to come to camp, they sign the form. Parent signs the form. And it really does give you some protection over frivolous lawsuits and so on. Very, very important to just do smart things like that. The parents don't mind signing it. Almost no parents balk about that. But just very, very simple protocol. Just email me and I'll fire them right back to you. Physical touch, we've been through this, but 10 years ago, we were so naive about physical touch. But you can't be naive about physical touch. Talk to an attorney or someone who really knows the law. Even the same gender danger, putting your arm around same gender. We just need to be careful. There's other ways to show them love besides some of these things. It's terrible because I'm a hugger. That's how you love people is hug them. And it's sometimes difficult. But we need to be wise about this. Not overly paranoid, but very discreet and wise. I mean, back in my day, we did skinny dipping, right? I mean, no big deal. It ain't that day anymore, in case you didn't know. Even like changing for the pool, they used to change in one cabin. Everybody in a room just changed. Not anymore at Camp Andrews. We have stalls at the pool house, and you change in that stall. Just little things like that. Was there a problem? No. But it's discreet things we can do to be wise, to not give Satan an opportunity. Always two counselors with a child. Never one counselor off with the child by himself. Always two staff together with the child. Just little things like that are great precautions. Never physical touch for discipline, physical discipline. 15 years ago, some of the groups would, if the boy was acting up or throwing stones, what they'd do is they'd grab the guy's hands and hold him behind his back and just hold him until he quit. Well, it kind of worked, but very less than best. Never humiliating, and when a danger, only when there's a danger to themselves or others. If someone's suicidal or literally going to hurt somebody, there might be time for physical, but be very careful with that. Know what your boundaries are. Don't just assume you're on the farm. We're not on the farm anymore. No proper physical restraint. And just really briefly, is it almost five?
About 3 minutes.
Okay, perfect. I can't see back that far very good. Thank you, John. So breaking difference, this is not on your handout, but this is a free extra. I just saw it on here and I decided to keep it on there. But understand the problem. 3 of 150 children are living in a home with a biological mom, biological dad. Those are the children that come to Camp Andrews. 3 out of 150. Add staff who understand what it's like. When I see half of the staff come to camp and half of them are former campers, I'm just thrilled. Now, they need proper training, but if all possible, work former children into the staff. Maybe it's making brownies, but maybe it's something else. They understand the children on a... Well, it's just powerful. They never saw a family and understand where they're coming from. Cast a vision that you're not a victim. You have a choice. God is greater than anything. And there's healing for anything. You don't have to be like your parents. God's had a plan that comes from a dysfunctional home, an abusive home. Create a home environment, whether it's at camp or whether it's in your ministry, that there's a mom and pop, there's a grandpa and a grandpa. It's safe and secure. They belong. They're accepted. There's that role model. You can't recreate a family for them, but you can be that example to them and what they're facing. Anybody have any quick questions? Or I think we have a little bit of freedom here because supper's next, but yet supper's there, so we don't have a lot. But I'm going to be around at our stand, Camp Andrews stand, right out here in the gym the rest of the day till 10 o'clock tonight. So feel free to stop by. But anybody have any question about anything we've talked about? Something wasn't clear? Anybody? I'd love to talk with you some more and stop by if something was, I hate to see that, any misunderstandings, but thank you so much for coming. And I just want to pray a blessing on you for your commitment to ministry. I've thrown a lot at you, but I just want to bless you for wherever you're called to. Can we pray together? Thank you, God, for this time together. I know you care so deeply about these precious children, especially children that have been through painful and difficult things, God. And it's so hard to identify sometimes and to be your hands and feet and be your arms to care for them. But God, I just pray a blessing on each one in this room, the reason they're here and the calling you placed on their life. God, just empower them. Maybe they're discouraged or tired, whatever it might be, that you just reach down and minister and put them back on top of the fence post as a turtle and assure them of your presence and of your calling in their lives and be grace to them in their areas of need. We just pray a blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.